Enthusiasms. Enthusiasms, what are mine? What draws my admiration? What is that which gives me joy? Baseball! A man stands alone at the plate. This is a time for what? Individual achievement. There he stands alone. But in the field, what, Pot? What is he, Chris? Part of a what?
Team.
Bats, throws, catches. Part of one big team. Bats himself to live long day, Babe Ruth, the Ty Cobb, and so on. If he don't field, what is he?
Nothing.
That's right. Go ahead. Give it to me, Chris.
I don't know the rest.
Go ahead. Sunny day. Let me see your interpretation. Sunny day.
Stands are full of fans.
What does he have to say? I'm going out there for myself. But I get nowhere. Unless... The team wins. All right, the team. Welcome to the team, Nick DeToro, Chris Dickerson. Good shot. Good try, Chris. Way to go. That was Chris Dickerson doing me, doing De Niro. Welcome to the show. I breed baseball.
August.
August the 2nd. Trade deadline is upon us. Has passed. A lot of action. I've been kind of in a rage about the Yankees all year. Kind of upset with, you know, the team and the direction. But, you know, I understand the Yankees had to make some moves. I mean, I'm a realist. This team was a 500 team. We were four games over about a week ago. But realistically, you know, they're just not going to win a championship with this group. They had to rebuild. They got rid of Andrew Miller, who I really, really hurt because it's hard to get a lefty like him. Chapman, I understood. He was exciting. But he's going to be a free agent. They could sign him back. Beltran, who's their best hitter, is now gone. What do you think about the moves the Yankees made?
Man, I mean, I think overall, if you look at all the moves made around the league, it's supply and demand. It's who's performed up to a certain point, what their contracts are at the end of the year, where they fall into next year. They don't really know those plans, but the teams that are in the hunt, they got to make a move, and if they're not, then they got to sell and look to rebuild. So, but I get the Chapman thing. I think that was originally just kind of a flex, you know, the Yankees flexing their muscles early in the season, getting him. But, you know, dismantling that 7-8-9 was astonishing with Miller. I mean, I think that was the greatest 7-8-9, you know, there have been a lot of great teams with some 7-8-9 guys. But the Royals was probably the best that I've ever seen. By far the best that I've seen in the last 10 years. But I think they had something comparable with Miller, Chapman, and Dillon. But you know what it is what it is. Like you gotta make way for you know, for the future, and then you gotta push for the immediate, and that's what a lot of teams did, as you saw. So you know it's tough, and you know, you think in there's always the other side too, is you know, I'm kinda take it personal, but you know, Dillon Betances' comments about, you know, Miller being moved and how much Andrew meant to him. So it's not like it's not just a player personnel thing. It's a locker room, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a locker room feel. It's a community that you're breaking down as well. And you know, Dillon's still, you know, pretty young kid. And so when you get a mentor like that, it's very, very difficult to part ways. So, you know, I feel for him. I've done it. And then, you know, talking to Jay recently, going to New York, it's such a difficult thing to do. But you know, it's part of the game, and it's unfortunate, and it is very unfortunate that it's a game of supply and demand. It's a business, and you know, you're at that point where it's push or shove. So, you know,
but it is shocking. It is shocking to break up like a tandem like that. It was sort of the strong point of their team. I understand the future, and I understand they got to restock and rebuild, but it was, you know, a winning formula having a bullpen like that in this day and age. Now you gotta have a, you know, a 7th, 8th, 9th guy. I mean, it was impressive. It kept them like sort of competitive, but the team has a lot of holes. And I understand, you know, Miller is a hot commodity, but you know, I hated parting with him. I don't know why. I understood that Chapman wasn't traded, but I still liked the 1-2 punch of Miller and Betances, and I'm still like on he didn't even want to go. You know, you could tell he liked being a Yankee, but like you said, it's the nature of the business. It's just a business, and but the human aspect, I get. I understand what you're saying. I mean, it's just you know, you saw him last night. He was wearing an Indian jersey, and he gave up. They brought him in a blowout just to give him some work, and he gave up a home run. It looked like his heart wasn't in it. I was laughing.
Yeah, man, that's tough. Like,
They're affecting other pennant races too. Like, the Cubs are in the first place with Chapman. The Indians are in first place with Miller. Now Beltran goes to a first place, a potent line. So the Yankees are actually like affecting three other teams that are in first place.
They're giving them, the Yankees basically gave ammo to teams that are in races. So Cleveland struggling a little bit. The Tigers are right on their heels, but mm-hmm. the Cubs, I mean, they're matter of fact one of the the best team in baseball right now. I mean, they just keep winning, but you give them a huge boost and virtually make them, you know, their ninth inning woes go out the window with Chapman. So it's it's crazy. So the Yankees were just sitting back, just dishing out first place ammo the last couple days.
Did you ever face Chapman?
Yes, it's a scary, but I would take Chapman over Miller. I can't stand facing Andrew. He's just as long. Well, he's taller and lankier than Chapman, but you know his release is behind you. You know, doesn't throw as hard, but what's five, six more miles per hour? Was 96 to 103. Right. But I would have kept Andrew. I've been Andrew's biggest fan. I think him against lefties and righties, I think he's one of the great neutralizers coming from both sides.
I'm with you.
I was incredible. I think that was probably the biggest surprise is that they let Miller go.
I know. So. I was a little shocked. My old agent, who's a big shot now, he only calls me once in a blue moon, like Marty Lysak. He's a lunatic. How could they get rid of him? You know, I was like, what can I tell you, Marty? I'm not the GM. You know, I'm disgusted, but Yankee fans were calming me down. But the Miller one, I'm a little bit, perplexed by it because I was like, he had a good contract, 2 years, and the Yankees now become sellers and not, not buyers. It's weird to see the Yankees in this situation with an old team, with a couple of pieces. But, I mean, do you think stockpiling this young talent is the... It might be the smart way for the, in the long run, right? I mean, you don't know how they're all going to pan out. That's the thing. You just don't know, right?
Yeah, well, you taking on...
I mean, if you were the GM...
Taking on prospects, which we all know is not their strong suit with building and holding on to prospects. But, they want those established guys, and they got rid of two of them. So it is what it is. But looking at it from, so if you're not up to speed, you got 18 deals completed.
Wow.
Which is insane. The number of players, 49 players involved in deadline trades, and the number of teams and player for player trades was 27. So
your man Jay Bruce, now a Met.
So watching that post go up, we kind of knew it was going to happen for the last week or so. We've had some conversations about it. I think we knew it was either going to be him or Joey. And, he was having a great year, and it's difficult to watch, Tim leave, because I know his history there is much more deep-rooted than even mine was. You know, we both came up through that system, and when you leave, it's devastating. Devastating, so devastating that my mom even sent me a text asking me how Jay was doing. She was like, that's got to be devastating. And,
but on the bright side...
On the bright side, you go to a contender, and I think that was one of his concerns, is that if you look at it, they just weren't doing anything in Cincinnati to be competitive. That bullpen was a mess, been a mess all year. They had a coaching change, and, they just really haven't brought in anybody, impact guys. They've been relying on building from within, and I can respect that. But, it's crazy. And so like I said, you know, the business of baseball cannot be more relevant here in 2016, where it's just, you know, all these guys are, you know, they're coming and going. They're traded like commodities.
What do you think about the Dodgers with J.J. Redick? You like that move? You like bringing him over?
Yeah, I like Redick. I like Redick. He's a hard-nosed player. He's a gamer. Yeah. He can do a lot of different things. Hits for power, average, steals some bases, great arm, defender. So, you know, they're basically getting a Puig from the left. You know, from the left-handed side. He's just more consistent.
What do you think about Puig going down? I mean, you think he's done in L.A.?
You know what? Who knows?
Right.
Honestly.
He could come back in September and make an impact.
Exactly. Right? He could come back in September. They might hold on to him. He might come back in September. He does well. You know, and then sure enough, offseason comes around. Somebody will pick him up and, you know, he'll get a second chance somewhere else. But
he just hasn't learned to be a baseball player. Right? I mean, he's a tremendous talent.
100%. One of the most talented players in all of baseball, but as we've all seen, which is very evident, that he's refused to become a polished baseball player from, you know, the defensive side, offensive side, making adjustments, but just being, you know, finding that fine line between being super aggressive and kind of dialing it back a little bit. And you know, when you get into that, when you start to keep finding stuff, it takes a toll. It takes a toll on you when you start to struggle and you come back, you adjust this, it doesn't work, you got to do this. You know, and eventually they lose patience. Right. But it's also hard. It doesn't make it any easier when, you know, you make some of the mistakes
that he's made
both on and off the field. So
I mean, explain that. Explain that, you know, the difference between being a great athlete, a guy like Puig who has all these tools, and a really good baseball player, because they'll say he's a real good baseball player.
David Eckstein.
I like that.
Ultimate baseball player. Who else was a great? Eric Karros was a great, not talented. What, you know, had power. You know, was, you know, he was an okay first baseman, was slower than all, you know, that slow as molasses, but
he knew how to run the bases.
Right. If you look at Eric Karros' stats, he had a couple seasons where he stole 20 bases. I mean, he picked and chose, you know, the right time. He knew the game, he knew the situation. Mm-hmm. Larry Walker, great player, great consistent player, one of the best base runners of all time. Like that, you know, those are the differences. Right. You know, being a baseball player, you know, hitting the cutoff man, saving runs, you know, knowing the play that you have to make two or three plays before it even has to happen, rather than just on the fly. Those are great players. And obviously, David Eckstein, they called him, you know, just his nickname was Just Enough.
Pedroia,
getting every single ounce of ability in that tiny frame. You know, Eckstein played, you know, 12 years, you know, could barely get across the diamond, but he worked at it. He found a way to do it, just being crafty. He bunted, hit and run. He gave the most of his ability by being a great baseball player. And then, you know, it's unfortunate when you see these guys who have more talent than in their, you know, their pinky than most guys do in the entire league, but they can't, you know, they can't put it together.
I know, it's unbelievable, because you see a guy like that, I mean, he's got a body like an Adonis, could run like a deer, he's got an arm that's a cannon. I mean, he's got some loopholes in his swing, but there's really, if he really got his head on, like sometimes you just go, if a guy is he dumb? Is he? I mean, I hate to say that, but he's like, he's a dumb baseball player versus a smart baseball player, you know, and that kind of, you know, I see some players like that where you go, he's a winning player. He's a smart player. He knows how to run the bases. He knows the situation. He knows how many outs there are. And those are the things that drive you nuts when you go, this guy's at the major league level and he looks like a guy that, you know, you just pulled him off the sandlot. I mean, that's when it's like, you know, wow, is he coachable? That's the whole other thing, too. Nobody's kind of, you know, really got him. And, like, you know, who knows? Maybe a change, maybe a new voice would be good for him. But, I mean, he's exciting. I'd like to see him in the game. But he could be, you know, a major, you know, bust or disappointment going forward. Who knows? But I wouldn't say that it's over yet for him. He's still a young guy.
Yeah, still young. He's still super talented, you know. You know, it all comes back at some point. It's just a matter of not, you know, being too, You know, but that's the interesting thing. I think this will be, honestly, as a player, this is going to be the ultimate test of your character. Is
right.
If and when he is sent down, how he responds to it, if mm-hmm. he just goes down there and just shuts it down and says, and, you know, has this attitude, be like, of, you know, screw this, like, I deserve to be there, with that sense of entitlement.
Right.
Be like, look, if you can get over that, if you can get over the ego, that sense of entitlement that you should be in a certain place, you go down there, you bust your ass, and you do all the necessary things that it takes to get back. That is going to be the turning. I think this will be the turning point is, of his career.
Yeah.
He can either tank,
right,
and he can give up, get lazy down there, and or he can fight and kind of get a new sense of purpose and
right.
going down there and working.
Because you know personally what it's
personally
like
know.
To
so
go
know.
From the major leagues back to the minors, right? And how is that transition mentally? Like when you got, you know, obviously you were up on a lot of teams, but there were times that you had to go back down to AAA or AA.
That was the first time is when Joe sent me down. That was the first time I had ever been sent down, and
Girardi.
I was already had 3 years, and I got to New York, and I came up when Swisher was struggling the second week of April, and when I had to go back down when Bartolo came off, you know, I explained how Joe sent me down, but going back down in that mind state, be like, okay, I don't belong here. I've been up there for the last 3 years. Like, this is, you know, I don't want to be here. I don't think I need to be here because I was performing just fine before I got sent down. But what you do with those next couple weeks will determine what your season will be like. Either you can be that guy where you go down there and you bullshit around and you don't take the work seriously that you have to do. And then if you do get called back up, you struggle because you haven't been taking it seriously, or you go down there bitter and with resent. And in that case, you're damaging your own image that they're not going to want to bring you back because you got a bad attitude, you know, you're lazy, bad attitude. You're just, you know, you complain or whatever the case is. So there's a lot of factors that go into it.
How did you handle it?
Honestly, I was bitter. Yeah, I was bitter. It was a tough pill for me to swallow. Going back, I'd already been in there, you know, two years. I'd been in the International League. I hated it.
You don't want to go back.
Especially being in Scranton, which is the absolute worst. I remember my mom came in, we had dinner, and I'm looking at this stadium. I was so mad. Like, I cannot believe I'm back here, more or less, in Scranton, which is, nobody wants to come here. It was just awful cement jungle in a cave like setting in, you know,
Scranton,
Wilkes-Barre, you know, Pennsylvania. So
was it a bad ballpark?
It was horrible. It was in the middle of nowhere. Nobody came. There was 20,000 seats and they were only occupied by like, you know, 5,000-6,000 people a night. The entire stadium was open. The ballpark was enormous. It was impossible to hit any home runs there, but I went down there. I went down there with resent for the first couple weeks, and, you know, but I had, after the first time I went down, I just had to make it, I had to change my attitude because it wasn't, you know, I had an opportunity to come down here and get at bats, and, you know, luckily I got called back, you know, 2 weeks later.
But it was
later.
Tough.
But it was really tough. So,
yeah.
But that is, that's a point.
I think, anytime you go up in life, and when you got to go back, I mean, even though in my own career where I've gone, you know, been on a TV show, and then you go up and then you almost have your own show, and then things don't work out, and then you got to take a step back and you go back. It's hard. Once you've tasted something, and you know, and that's what you're saying right now, once you've tasted that life, or once you've tasted that the fruit of success, or you feel like you belong, you feel like, you're in the conversation, you're in the arena, you don't want to, nobody wants to go back. You know what I mean? That's a human thing. But sometimes if you look at it like, maybe let me go and work on my game, let me go work on my craft. But it isn't easy to swallow. I understand where probably you do feel like, I'm not going. I don't want to go. I don't want this. But, man, that's tough, man.
Yeah, it's another thing. If you're struggling, it's one thing. Be like, okay, I accept the demotion, you know. But being the odd man out that year, and you know, because we just watched the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just have, you know, and it's not, I didn't struggle. It was just the being the odd man
yeah,
out. So it's kind of a little extra, you know, a little extra stab there. So,
know.
You know, but, you know, going up and then having to come back down, you know, getting the taste of that. And then, It's like going to Junior's in Brooklyn and getting that cheesecake and then trying to eat any other cheesecake. Chris, it doesn't taste as good.
Chris is talking about, I had the Yes Network on. Well, I have it on 24 hours a day. Not 24, but I mean, you know, every day I watch baseball.
Don't lie, it's 24 hours.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And then so they were clipping they were showing an old Yankee-Mets series at the Yankee Stadium 2011 where Chris Dickerson had a good game. And I'm like, wow, it's Chris. Let me tape it. So I put it on for him. He had to see how excited his face looked. And it was like, he's looking at himself. It brought something back to him. I could tell. Like, I don't know. But it was like, oh, wow, there's Gaudy got that hit. Oh, yeah, I did have a good game. So it was definitely, you know, when you see something, like when I see some of my work the other day, my son was watching an old Jungle Fever. And I'm looking at myself going, that was me? Wow, I did that. So you just go, it's funny because it reminds you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I remember that game very well because that was my first game back after being on concussion protocol when I got hit in the head in Baltimore. So that was my first day back. I finally passed my protocol test, and that was my first day out there. I think Curtis had like a sore hamstring or something, but yeah, day game. It was Subway Series, man. It's an exciting time.
So. Electric, right?
It is. It's a great time. And you saw, like, and it kind of brought that back because it's funny because I told you this morning, I sent Jay a text, be like, hey, buddy, you know, enjoy that experience. It's pretty unbelievable, that Subway Series. But, you know, hearing that was seventh, eighth inning when I, you know, Gaudy and I flared those two hits for those RBIs, and the crowd is still going bananas because they just want to just dig it in to those Mets fans.
Oh, like, yeah.
You know, 9-3 that just get louder. The bigger the blowout, the louder they get, and sticking it to them.
Listen, Met fans are loud. People don't know. Met fans are like more boisterous, more loud. They're more buffoon-like than Yankee fans. I don't care what anybody tells you. I grew up in New York. Met fans are like drunken, whatever. I don't even want to get into what Met fans are. I grew up around them, so I know they're loud, and they're not as knowledgeable as Yankee fans. They can say whatever they want. They're still the angry little brother. They always will be. There's just something about you don't want to lose to the Mets. Even last night, I was like, just beat the Mets. Be spoilers now. I'm gonna enjoy that role right now. You know, knock them out. I don't want to root for those guys from Queens, even though I'm from Queens. But it is great. You know, Subway Series. You know, that's an exciting. I mean, you don't get that same juice out here. You know that, right? From playing in that series. I mean, you don't. The Dodgers and the Giants. I mean, it's good, but it's not New York. It's just not the same.
Yeah, it's I've never really got to experience much of the Giants. You know, maybe as a kid, but not in recent years, and not in a while. Well, because this is my first summer back here. So you know, I don't get to go to a whole bunch of games. This has got to be 15, 20 years. So you know. But yeah, that's a whole nother experience. So
yeah, that was good. I didn't mean to go off on the Yankee Met things, but we saw that and it brought back memories. Let's talk about the Rangers, man. Now with Beltran and Lucroy, and that lineup with Beltre and Odor and this guy, Mazar, young guy, he's hitting the hell out of the ball. I mean, that is some lineup. I mean, up and down, Texas is going to be a brutal team in the playoffs, I think. If they get Darvish back now and a little bit of pitching with Cole Hamels, I mean, that lineup from 1-9 is, I mean, what's it, Mitch Moreland is hot. I mean, it just every position, they're like loaded. I mean, man, I mean, what about the East? Do you think the Red Sox didn't make any great moves? I mean, the Orioles picked up, they brought back Pierce. But the Orioles are a tough team. I mean, the Blue Jays, they're right in there. They picked up Liriano, which isn't bad. I mean, the Pirates, the Yankees dumped Nova too. The Pirates got Nova, but the Pirates, you know, they're in the hunt. So are the Marlins. The Marlins are in the hunt. I don't know. The Mets seem like they got issues. I mean, I don't know. Jay Bruce will probably help the lineup a little bit, unless they start hitting, because their lineup, man. I mean, their pitching has been not as good as you know people thought because Harvey went down. I mean, they still got Syndergaard. They still got DeGrom. I wouldn't count the Mets out of it yet, but they got to start hitting, right? I mean, they got to start hitting. I don't know. You know, you look at there's a lot of moving parts, but we'll see. It's going to be interesting. There'll be waiver moves. I mean, what do you think going forward? Who do you think is like the teams that you would say? You know, I mean, obviously Texas is going to Cleveland's going to be definitely tough to They're going to be tough. I mean, the East is up for grabs. Who would be your pick? The Orioles?
If you really look at it, it's all up for grabs. This is the best time of the year because... Yeah, because this is the best time of the year because simply for the fact that you already have your foregone conclusion as to what's going to happen until all hell breaks loose and teams start choking.
Right.
So then that's the best part is when you see that 4.5 and then the next week you see they're down to 2.5 and that's when stuff gets interesting.
Yeah.
It's like these guys are going to start making moves. Guys are going to come back off the DL. Mm-hmm. Guys are going to go on the DL. It's basically it's that last like 5 miles of the marathon. It's just who can make it? Who's got, you know, it's basically like my old college coach used to say. He's like, oh, it's about intestinal fortitude. And we're like, okay, yeah, whatever. But, you know, it is, man. Just you're going to the dog days of summer. You know, it gets hot. It's exhausting. And I think a lot of it, it's going to come down to management. And, you know, this is like, it's crazy that it's crazy. Because this is basically, it's a race. And it's like being in any, like, in, you know, any 500, Daytona 500. It's like, all right, how much gas do you have left? Are you going to make a pit stop when you can't afford to? Because some you got to go, you know, full throttle here. But these guys, you know... At some point, you're going to run out of gas. And that's going to you know, you're going to be 2.5 games back, and you're going to have to throw these guys out there every single day. So it's going to come down to guys who can stay healthy.
Right.
Depth off the bench when their big guys need a rest. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys are going to go out. They're going to throw extra innings. They're really going to want to dig deep and find those extra innings and, you know, pitch well. And it's just it's that time. It's the brink, you know. Everybody's at that brink where you're gonna soar to the top and keep ascending. You're gonna be the Cinderella come from behind, or you're just gonna tank. And so it's, you know, it's on the manager and the management, and it's also on the players. You know, going out there.
Well, August is a brutal month, you're right, because a lot of teams, you can see they either go one way or they go the other. And you can see what it starts in August, usually there's dog days. And then by the time they get to September, you can kind of see the path that some of these teams are on. They're either going up or they're going down. But there's a lot of teams that are like, there's no clear cut choice. I mean, everybody knows they're saying the Cubs, but the Giants are in there. You know, the Nationals now are, you know, in the conversation. I mean, in the American League, it's, you know, Houston's coming on. Who knows? I mean, the Tigers are coming on. I mean, there's some teams coming this way, there's some teams going that way. I couldn't tell you. If I was a gambling man, I couldn't tell you right now, you know, who's the clear-cut guy. But like you said, it's going to be a lot of teams in a hunt. That's why it hurt me to see the Yankees, like, throwing the towel. But I understand the Yankees are thinking, you know, listen, we got to build for the future. And I think they probably made the smart play in the long run. In the long run, I mean, the Yankees have a lot of work to do, but I think they'll be good in a year or two. I do see the Yankees coming back. They got contracts coming off the books. I mean, hopefully the future is, you know, they still need a number one pitcher. I mean, Chris Sale is out there, but I don't know if the White Sox are going to part with Chris Sale.
Yeah, no way.
You know? I mean, I didn't expect that at all. Chris Sale is he's a stud. What did you think about the jersey thing? That kind of made me giggle, him cutting up the jerseys.
So what happened?
You know, he cut up. He didn't want to wear jerseys on, like, these throwback nights. So he, like, lost his mind one night, and he took the jerseys, and he started cutting them up. He cut them up, and they suspended him for, like, 5 games, 6 games. He went nuts. Like, he said, I don't want to wear these jerseys. They're itchy and this and that. I mean, pitchers are a little crazy, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I hear you because...
But cutting up the jerseys? You're a professional. What's wrong with the guy? He snapped, I guess, huh?
Yeah, but and I think those, and I get it because those throwback jerseys, they're not to size.
Right.
They're not because
yeah, but you can't cut the jersey up.
Yeah, you can't do that. But it's one of those things where that's a league enforced day that you're going to wear those. It doesn't necessarily bode well for the players because usually they're too big, especially like the new majestic ones, like the uniforms. They're bigger than what you may have had in the past. So veterans, you know, they have the same pants and the same uniform and just, you know, stitched how they had it from, you know, 3-4 years ago.
Right.
And then, like, last year, 2 years ago, the pants came back. They're enormous. And then the throwback jerseys, because I remember we played in Kansas City. We had throwback day in Kansas City, and we wore the old Indians, the
75 or something?
No, the ones from... Major League.
Oh, Major
League.
Yeah,
the Major League. So we had, you know, the no belt, you know, the no belt, the drawstring type, and it was enormous. So, you know, guys, you know, especially with pitchers, having to, you know, bring up the sleeve and, you know, keep yanking up on your shoulder to shorten the sleeve and all the extra material that's out there. I get it. But right. Still, it's a little crazy having to cut that stuff up.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you kind of understand if you mess with a guy's ritual and, you know, his psyche, his frame of mind, people don't want to, you know. But, I mean, it's part of your professional. You know you got to wear these throwback jerseys. I mean, they don't fit right. They're too big. So I guess it can get in your head or whatever. I mean, but it's just funny, you know. The idea of Chris Sale taking all the uniforms and cutting them up made me laugh. I mean, I had to laugh about it. I mean, it was a stupid thing to do. Obviously, he apologized. But, you know, people, they lose their mind. Sometimes they have a bad moment. So I guess Chris had a bad moment.
Yeah, well, you know? I mean, just it's, you know, Major League Baseball and the team kind of imposing that you have, that you, you know, this marketing, you know, this marketing ploy of whatever, wearing the throwback jerseys. It's not necessarily comfortable for these guys. They don't fit well, so it's, you know, you're constantly have to make adjustments, that all that material, you're tucking it in, you've got to do this. So, I mean, I get it.
Coming from a player, from an MLB player. See, Chris Dickerson understands Chris Sale's dilemma of, you know, wanting to wear those uniforms. So there is some logic. There is some sort of, you know, good reasoning why maybe, you know, he had a good point. But still, all in all, don't cut up the jerseys.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah, Major League Baseball probably still trying to took them and tried to auction them off and be like,
yeah.
I wonder if they did that. Where can you find, that's like a,
I don't know.
That's a memorabilia piece right there.
That probably is.
This was cut up by Chris Sale.
I don't know how bad he cut him. And I don't know how many he cut. I don't know if he cut the whole team. I would love to see the image of, like, you know, Chris Sale doing that. I mean, you know, it's behind the scenes, but I don't know how it went down, but it just makes me laugh. I mean, those kind of things, you know, there's nothing to get crazy about. It's like, you know, he didn't kill anybody. He cut up some jerseys.
Yeah, we're going to have to search. We're going to have to get off here and search the black market to see if anybody got those jerseys with the slit.
Yeah, like, well, yeah. Well, here we go. We'll see. With all these trades being made, let's see, you know, who has the biggest winner, the biggest loser. But it's going to be interesting going forward, Chris. And we'll check in with you guys pretty soon. All right? We're out.
Later.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.